right, well, if you have your Bibles tonight, if you received our weekly text message, you know that we're in Revelation chapter 12 tonight. And in that text message, I said we're going to be looking at Christmas from the book of Revelation, question mark. Because really, when you think about the book of Revelation, it really does not seem like a place to turn to when looking for a Bible study or a message on Christmas. In fact, it would probably be one of the last books that you ever thought of that you could get a Christmas Bible study or a Christmas message out of. But in fact, as we look into it, Revelation, again, the last place you'd look to find the story, the message, the hope that Christmas time brings with it. But as we think and look a little more into it, Revelation actually gives us insight into three Christmas realities. Number one, it gives us a little bit of the history. Number two, it gives us a little bit of the tension. And then number three, it gives us a little bit of the power of Christmas. And that's what we want to try and glean from these few short verses tonight. Revelation chapter 12. And we'll begin reading there at verse number 1. Revelation chapter 12, beginning there at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And so again, for a few moments tonight, just want to think and look on this thought, Christmas from the book of Revelation. How many of you are familiar with the Dickens character of Ebenezer Scrooge? Everybody familiar with the character of Ebenezer Scrooge? Well, and we were to think about Ebenezer Scrooge tonight and kind of relate him here. Many people, especially around this time of year, you know, we think of Christmas as a happy time, a joyous time. We go about wishing people a Merry Christmas. We go about wishing people a happy holidays and so on and so forth. But also for many around this time of year, many people do experience what could be considered unhappy holidays. As one maid once said about Christmas, she said this. She said, "We have no money." I think we can relate to that a little bit, can't we, tonight? "We have no money for gifts. I don't have a job. I feel like Job's twin. It's the unhappy holidays this year. I'm tired of hearing happy holidays." And a lot of people can relate to that. A lot of people, for many, this will be their first year without a loved one. This will be their first year without a spouse. Their first year without someone close to them. And for a myriad of reasons, there are reasons why this time of year could be considered the unhappy holidays. But Jesus came to earth by bursting into history as God's Son. Jesus arrived on the scene in a world. When he came and he was born in a world of political tension with the Romans and the Jewish people at odds over politics. You had Caesar Augustus at odds with Jerusalem and Judea. But Jesus' birth would deliver a new kind of reign, one different than the powerful Caesar Augustus. And so again, the book of Revelation tonight here in chapter 12 provides to us three things. It provides for us visions of the future, appeals to the church to follow Jesus, and God's plan for daily living in the midst of turmoil. So we want to see tonight what exactly Revelation chapter 12 tells us about Christmas. Well, look there again if you would. Revelation chapter 12, and notice there verses 1 and 2. Revelation chapter 1, or chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered." And so here in these first two verses of chapter 12, we have for us unfolding the drama of Christmas. We have the story of a virgin. We have the story of a child to be born. We have the pain of labor. And in two simple sentences, John, who is the writer of the book of Revelation, he's writing this, of course, on the Greek Isle of Patmos. He reveals for us the history of Christmas. And we all know the history of Christmas. We all know the Christmas account that a virgin Mary gives birth to a child. The child comes into the world through the pain of labor. The child arrives in simplicity, a stable stall in Bethlehem, in quietness, beneath the star. And here we see chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It mentions there, verse number 1. You notice it says there at the end of verse number 1, "And upon her head a crown of 12 stars." Now that's no doubt a reference to the 12 tribes of Israel, an implied inference to God's plan of salvation through Abraham. Take your Bibles, go all the way back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 12. So we're in the last book, Revelation. Now we're going to go all the way to the front of our Bibles, Genesis chapter 12. Keep your finger there in Revelation. We'll be back. But Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, and verse number 1. Revelation chapter 12, and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." And so we see here in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1, we have this reference to God's plan of salvation, that he would begin and start through Abraham, that would be eventually fulfilled in Jesus as the Messiah. And so here in the birth of Jesus, God came to earth fully divine and fully man. He was still fully God, and he was still fully man. Theologians and scholars, they name this event, they name the birth of Lord Jesus Christ, they call it the incarnation, that God became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. John 1:14 tells us that. We know that Jesus, he came to earth, lived, died on that cruel cross, but 3 days later, he rose again. And he came ultimately to bring new life and eternal salvation, because we know 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible tells us Christ makes all things new. And a famous Boston preacher, Philip Brooks, once wrote this in the 1800s. He said, "The earth has grown old, its burden of care, but at Christmas it is always young." History unveils the drama of Jesus' birth into the world. Christmas arrives in simplicity, glory, and splendor. God's child with small fingers and hands yet God's hands holding the world in His hands. And so you think tonight about what exactly Christmas means. Christmas has with it, you know, we say it a lot around the new year, how it gives everybody that time for a new start or a fresh start. But really with Christmas comes the newness. With Christmas comes the freshness. With Christmas comes the happiest of holidays. And listen, what makes Christmas a happy holiday and what makes this time of year a happy holiday is not necessarily the gifts that you do or do not receive. What makes this time of year a happy time is not necessarily, well, did I get everything I asked for, or did I get the latest and greatest and the newest and the brightest and the best? No, what makes this time of year actually a happy holiday is the fact that we don't necessarily celebrate all of those trinkets and all of those gifts, and we don't celebrate the tree that we have in our home. No, we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate His coming to earth to be the Savior. And because of that, the holidays don't have to be unhappy. Because of that, the holidays don't have to be sad. The holidays are happy when we look back at Christmas and we rediscover that freshness. We rediscover that newness of Christ's love. We rediscover that newness and freshness of Christ's mission and His plan for our lives. You know, we sang the song Sunday morning, "I love to tell the story." And a part of the verse in that song talked about how it was the old, old story. And the truth of the matter is, it is a very old story. But you know, it's times of year like this, and then when we get to Easter time and Resurrection Sunday, that we can be reminded and reinvigorated and renewed and just remember that, yes, despite all the cares and burdens of the world, you and I have a Savior that lives. You and I have a Savior that is alive tonight. And because of that, it can be a happy holidays. And at Christmas, we see that Christ lifts the burdens and delivers a youthful excitement. And so we look back into Christmas and we see God's plan. But not only did Jesus come with a plan, we see He also came without tension. At a time where He came, there was anxiety and problems in the world. That's what we see secondly this evening. We look back into the reality and we look at our struggle. Notice there, if you would, chapter 12 of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. And notice there, if you would, verses 3 through 5. Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. The Bible says, "And there appeared another woman in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to His throne." And so now we see these three verses mention the birth of Christ and the tension that came along with it. We have here in verse number 4 this image provided, that of a fiery red dragon, that the Bible tells us he's fierce and he opposes the birth of the Christ child. Now, without explaining in detail, we know the red dragon symbolizes the opposition to Christ. In a sense, it refers to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. But more specifically, it serves as an inference and a reference that Satan is alive and well and ruling here on planet Earth. And we think about tonight the early church, that experienced the reality of Christ's coming. You and I, we're waiting on His second coming. This early church, they were experiencing the reality of Christ's first coming daily. And with that, you had a war against culture. You had an eternal war against sin in the human heart. And at that, you had the drama of Revelation and its powerful image of the red dragon. Look, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Keep your finger there in Revelation. We'll be back. First Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. First Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. The Bible tells us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now notice there, Revelation chapter 12. And you notice there, verse 3. "And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon," look at what it says, "stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered," notice what it says, "for to devour her child." For to devour her child. And what did 1 Peter 1:8 tell us about Satan? That he is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil has one aim tonight. Satan has one aim tonight, and that is to destroy. Satan has one goal in mind, and that is to destroy. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your home. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to anything that you as a Christian are or have, Satan wants to destroy it. Just like 2,000 plus years ago, he would have loved for Herod to snuff out the baby Jesus at that at the taxing. He would have loved Jesus to have been killed. There's that babe. He has only one aim: to devour and to destroy. And today, we know tension swirls in our world. And we see the result of it. The result is anger, it's bitterness, it's broken relationships, it's shattered hopes. And our struggle as Christians tonight is against the sin, the flesh, and the devil. And you don't have to go far to see the anger, the bitterness, and the broken relationships that Satan leaves in his war path. But folks, that's exactly why Christ came tonight. To restore the broken. To comfort the battered. To lift up the fallen. To remove anger and replace it with joy. To turn the unhappy holidays into happy holy days of Christmas. Christ has come to bring peace and hope and love. You see, tonight, to those who understand God's plan, Jesus' birth brought their joy. Dietrich Bonhoeffer in Christmas Sermons put it this way. He said, "The coming of God is not only a message of joy, but also fearful news for anyone who has a conscience." Bonhoeffer's words share the good news in reverse. Those who reject Christ should fear, and those who believe in Christ should fear not. You say, then how then should we live today? How should we respond to all of these things today. We'll look, if you would, finally. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6. The Bible tells us here, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. We know the writer of Hebrews says that we are to look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, tonight Jesus is with God. He's on His throne tonight. After we know after He was crucified, He was put in the tomb. 3 days later, He rose again. 40 days later, He ascended to the right hand of God the Father, where He sits and reigns there even today. And so what are we to do in this world of tension? Well, we're to look to Christ this Christmas. In the tension worldwide, local and personal, look to Christ. Maybe you're here tonight or you know somebody, they feel these aren't such happy holidays, but they're unhappy holidays. Look to Christ. Encourage them to look to Christ and ask Him to make them holy. The book of Revelation here ends as it begins, revealing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Revelation instructs us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who will soon come. The book of Revelation pulls back the curtain. It unveils the drama. Christ has come to secure our future with salvation, strength for today, and hope for tomorrow. You see, the power of Christmas, it's not in the gifts that you're getting, or the gifts that you're giving, or the dinners that you're going to have, or the family that you're going to have over, or the friends you're going to have over, or the tree that you have hanging, or the decorations, or the lights, or whatever else we have fallen into about the trappings of Christmas. The power is not in those things, but the power of Christmas is in Christ. The power of Christmas is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of it. We get so enamored, don't we? Manny and I were going to go Friday night to Binghamton to the Festival of Lights. But we get so enamored with the light when there's already been the light of the world who's come into the world to be the Savior of mankind. When's the last time we got enamored with Him as much as we do some silly Christmas lights that if one goes out, they all go out? Huh? We talk about the Christmas tree, and much is made of the Christmas tree. Is it pagan? Is it this? Is it that? Should we have one? When we should be making much of Calvary's tree, the one where our Savior hung and suffered and bled and died. So, you know, tonight as we think of Christmas, the lights, the decorated trees, the manger scenes on mantles, Mary and Joseph struggling into Bethlehem on that starlit night, we can also think of Christmas, the stable stall, the pain and pangs of labor, the sound of a baby wailing into the night. You can think of Christmas tonight of an angry Herod, a moaning mother, a sweating Joseph, and then the gentle coo of a child that will bring peace, goodwill toward men. I think tonight of Christmas, the birth of a child and the red dragon, Michael and his angels at war, and Jesus, just by that very birth, already and them not even knowing it, defeating evil. And so tonight, no, it does not have to be unhappy or unholy. You can tonight look to Jesus, for He is the author and finisher of our faith. And so tonight I conclude with these words, the same ones you'll find at the end of Revelation. In fact, turn there. Revelation chapter 22. Very last chapter of the very last book of your Bibles. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verses 20 and 21. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And so, yes, tonight we can say Happy Holidays. We can say Merry Christmas. Why? Again, not because of what we're getting or giving. Not because of the lights or the tree or the decorations. But because Christ has come. And because of that, as Paul said in the book of Philippians, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And so yes, Christmas in the book of Revelation, it's history, it's reality, it's challenge. Look to Jesus this Christmas, the author and the finisher of our faith. And more than that, you know, also, let me get off on a little rabbit trail. You ever see some churches or even some homes, they'll have a sign that'll say, keep Christ in Christmas. I don't think we need to keep Christ in Christmas. I think we need to be taking Christ from Christmas and telling a lost and dying world about Him. Instead of just keeping Him kind of in that box. Go out and tell everybody you can about the Savior and about why He came so that He can possibly save them from their sins as well. And so this Christmas season, look to Jesus. Because it doesn't get any better than that. Doesn't get any better than Him. Let's pray.